This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Chris Ronchi, Amy Marks-Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out.
St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
On 104.1 FM.
Let's take it from the top.
KMOX.
Yo.
It's Wednesday.
What?
Wednesday.
Well, this is wild stuff, isn't it?
Well, I'm thrilled to death on this Wednesday because we have ourselves a playoff team.
We sure do. We will get to that. Amy Marks-Kors, Chris Ronji, good morning to you. Beautiful, beautiful Wednesday before the rain comes in. I guess the next few days may not be all that fun, rain-wise, but at least we have today. 314-436-7900. Call us, text us, leave us a voice message on the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. And if you want to look at us, you can do that. There is a Facebook, there is a YouTube, and there is a Twitter account that you can follow. It's at Chris Amy KMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Yeah, that's right. The Blues beat the Hockey Club of Utah 6-1. They are in the playoffs for the first time in what, 2 years? 3 years.
Since 2022.
That's right.
And the city of St. Louis officially now has a new mayor, as Mayor Kara Spencer was sworn in yesterday.
And the Cardinals, well, they lose to the Astros 2-0, so they've got what we call a rubber match. That is today. In fact, it is early baseball today. We're going to have a pregame show at 11:20 and the first pitch at 12:15. The Cardinals and Astros finish up their series at Busch Stadium.
Double the hit, Stubberud. He's got a breakaway. Looking for his first goal. They score! Buchnevich! What a play! And it's 2-0 St. Louis!
Buchnevich, back door, Stuggerud there,
and he scores! Stuggerud!
Thomas to Bolduc, shoots,
he scores! Bolduc, a power play goal!
Gets by Cole to Sundquist, to Shan right in,
a shot, they score! Pyro, what passing!
Dvorchenko shoots it, rebound,
they score! Pyro is second tonight!
The St. Louis Blues are back in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
FanDuel Sports Network.
Wow. Bloody, that
with
was
the highlights.
A lot of goals.
So, what did we talk about yesterday? Like, hey, don't leave it to chance.
Yeah.
Don't leave it up to Calgary to blow it or some other team to help you get into the postseason. take care of business. They did that.
Yeah.
If you weren't paying attention and you just looked up later, it was like 4-0. And wow, okay, they win 6-1, and they did exactly what they needed to do, and that was handle it. So good on the Blues, back in the playoffs.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. It feels so good to have a playoff team here in St. Louis. As Matt Pajeski, our producer, who was at the game, Mr. St. Louis, he said the towel guy ran out of towels.
Yeah, he was pumping everybody up, you know, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 after 6 goals, and just, like, he just went back into the tunnel and didn't have any towels to throw out.
What?
Yeah.
That's when you, like, give up your shirt or something. You need to bring at least 6 towels.
Yeah, I think 7 is, like, just in case.
Yeah, you bring 8 really is just in case. But good on the Blues. I mean, they went 19-4-3. 19-4-3 after the Four Nations break. And I think it's fair to say that no one expected that. Maybe the guys in the locker room knew they had it in them the whole time. I feel like no. Sometimes, here's the thing. Well, every team believes that they're a playoff team, or every team believes that they're good. Yes and no.
Yeah, no, there is a no.
There is a no.
Because if play, and sometimes after a season, they will be honest with you and say, yeah, we kind of knew in August this wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? Or you know, like in a baseball season or whatever, they'll be like, you
well,
know,
like
we knew.
I said, and guys will doubt themselves.
Sure.
If a guy's struggling, rather famously, Ryan O'Reilly said he thought he was a cancer for locker rooms. He thought he was a guy that showed up on a team and drove them into the cellar. And so you do have moments when you doubt yourself. You doubt your team's ability. You're frustrated with your own play. You can be frustrated with others' play. And yes, you're going to have say the right things in the locker room. And I don't know the ratio of belief to doubt in that Blues locker room. Is the belief generally higher than it is for the fans? Usually, I think so. But they're also realists. And so for this team to go 19-4-3 is astonishing, no matter how you look at it. They got hot at the right time. I'm glad they didn't just win that game.
They put it away.
Put it away.
Yeah.
It had intentionality about it. It was confident. And that's what they needed after losing a handful of games, after that 12-game winning streak. Because, of course, you're not going to keep that same momentum. But going into the playoffs, and last night's game, I think they approached as a playoff game, right? You have it in your control. Do what you can. You want to have that momentum, and I feel like that's exactly what they have. Now, they're going up up against an incredibly skilled team. The Winnipeg Jets they're a rocket ship, man. They're going to be tough, but it's fun. It's the playoffs. Anything can happen. And, yeah, this is good stuff. The last time the Blues played the Winnipeg Jets in the first round went okay.
It did, and that was one of those that I thought, like, there were a couple of times I thought it was over,
mm-hmm.
that series. Was it Braden Chen? Why am I blanking on this right now? Who swatted the puck out of midair? It was sort of that comeback win they had. When I thought the season was over. This was during the Stanley Cup mm-hmm. run. And I apologize for blanking on that, but I remember thinking once Winnipeg had scored, I think it was a second goal. Doing this all from memory, isn't that great? And I'm thinking, all right, well, great season, great run, everybody. You were in last place in December. This was fun. Thank you for the memories.
Yeah.
Thank you for all of this. And I was totally resigned to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came back and tied it and ended up winning that game. But there were multiple times throughout the entire playoff run, even against Dallas and then against Boston, they had that one game where they just got obliterated. And I thought, oh, God, you know, here.
Well,
so much fun. I appreciate it. But there was they consistently defied what I thought was about to happen.
Yes.
They were so close to death multiple times. And this team is drawing some parallels there.
Yeah. So, no, there were moments and in any. And I know we're getting ahead of ourselves. The playoffs haven't even started yet. But it's never smooth sailing. And you can think of a lot of moments from that Stanley Cup run in 2019 where it was so close. It was thousandths of a second or millimeters away from the Blues being knocked out of the playoffs. The obliteration game against the Bruins, that was game six of the Stanley Cup final. And going back to Boston for game seven, I can tell you, in the media box, in the stands, everyone, they didn't just assume the Bruins were going to win game seven at home. They were already talking about how the Blues really didn't deserve to be there.
Yeah.
The Blues, they may be, yeah, they're tough. They're throwing their weight around, but they don't have the perfection line. They don't have Bergeron and Pastrnak and Marchand. They don't have that. And it was insane, Ron, because I remember sitting there with the national ESPN guys talking about how game six is really how this series should have gone the whole time. Game six really shows why the Bruins were better than the Blues. And of course, the Blues go on to win the Stanley Cup in game seven in Boston.
I remember thinking, do not let this go back to Boston.
Yeah.
Don't allow it.
Everyone thought it was over.
Yeah.
So there's that. Then
I can't believe they did it.
Famously, the hand pass goal.
San Jose
Sharks. In that locker room, though, that locker room, I can tell you right then, and I actually said this in the post-game show, and I'm not right a lot, but I said, that team, it was so bizarre, Ronge. I knew they were going to win this series just by the attitude in the locker room after they lost to the San Jose Sharks with the hand pass.
That's so interesting. You've told that to me a bunch of times, and it's fascinating to me because on the outside, the rest of us, I think, felt completely different.
We were in the locker room, Alex Ferrario and I, we went upstairs, we're talking to Curbs, and I'm like, they're going to win this series. I don't know how to describe it, but the resolve in that room and the way they didn't let it bother them was mind-boggling. I will say, when the Blues won the Cup, Game 7, the final seconds ticked down. Do you know what went through my head? The Jamie Benn wraparound goal in Game 7 in the second round in overtime that was most likely going in. I don't know how it didn't go in. That's how it felt. And I thought we were that close to being knocked out of the playoffs in the second round. That's what went through my head. It's so hard to make it through the playoffs. So even last night's game, I feel like shows you. You not only have to play really well and you can't make mistakes, but a lot of things have to go your way.
And also, let's not forget that Blues team was not the best team in the league that year.
Well, I always say this. They weren't the best roster, but they were the best team.
Yeah, they definitely weren't the best roster.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, before the playoffs,
they
weren't.
They were the worst.
So you don't,
the worst.
You don't even have to be the best team to win the whole thing. And I know we're sort of talking ourselves into this. Well, hey, you know, maybe this happens. But let's play that out a little bit. Dude, what if they do something like that again? What if they go on some sort of run here and they beat Winnipeg unexpectedly because that team is really good? It's the best team in the conference. Dude, what if they do it?
I know. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, we are. We are. But
the Jets are really, really good.
It's totally possible the Blues don't win another game the rest of the year.
Connor Hellebuck is the best goaltender in the NHL.
He's awesome.
He just is. But
I'm leaving it open to the possibility. Let me be a stupid sports fan for a minute. And I will until they play their first couple of games, and then we'll go from there.
I've already been blamed because, you know, I got injured. I fell, right? Basically broke my ankle in a million pieces. I just sprained it. But I was supposed to run the Boston Marathon. In 2019, the first and only time I ran the Boston Marathon, that was 2019, and I went to Boston, and the Blues were playing the Winnipeg Jets in the first round. Mm. And they had just gotten through that 11-game win streak.
So now they're going to get smoked
We have 2025. The Blues have a 12-game win streak. Mm-hmm. Guess who they're playing in the first round? The Winnipeg Jets. Guess who signed up for Boston? Me. But guess who's not going? If we lose, it's probably my fault.
Well, no, it's not you. You don't have that kind of power.
How do you know?
Pajeski had power to lose the whole thing for all of us because he went to the game last night. And he has some bad mojo.
No, he doesn't.
They overcame his bad mojo.
I'm 500.
He's batting 500. Remember, the Cardinals had their delightful victory on Monday night under the auspices of Matt Pajeski, and yesterday he wasn't at the Cardinals game. Guess who lost? The Cardinals. But he was at the Blues game. Guess mm-hmm. who won?
That's right.
Honestly, I think the fans are 99% of success and failure.
I think it might be luck. Tell us what your superstition is, especially if we are, now that we are headed into the playoffs and the Blues are going, you don't have to be a diehard Blues fan or anything to tell us what your superstitions are, but it seems like hockey people might have crazier superstitions than the rest of us. So if you have one, tell us what it is. Tell us what you are doing specifically to help the Blues through the playoffs. Let us know on the Odyssey app. AUDACY, drop a voice message, send a text. We want to hear from you on the Chris and Amy Show, 104.1 FM KMOX.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Chris and Amy Show. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji on KMOX. We're asking what your superstition is and how you're going to approach the Blues playoffs, which we don't know exactly when they're going to begin. I guess we find out the specific day after tomorrow. So it's like tomorrow night when the season's over. Then they will have the playoff schedule. All we know is they are going to play the Winnipeg Jets.
Winnipeg.
And it will be on the road.
Do you know Winnipeg is the St. Louis of Canada? They are a river town.
It's smaller,
town.
Right?
It's smaller. Yeah. They're a river town. What is our, are we called the River City? What's our, not Mound City. There, we have a couple nicknames. They share some of the same nicknames. It's really weird how Winnipeg really is the St. Louis of Canada.
In the Music Man, when he's referring to River City, is he talking about St. Louis?
Yes.
Is he?
We've got trouble in River City.
Is it?
And that starts with T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. I don't think so.
What? Okay.
Those are the lyrics.
somebody, we're asking all of you, so text us and let us know, yeah. Or you can drop us a voice message on the Odyssey app and let us know how you plan to approach Blues playoff games and what your superstition is going to be. There are a couple of texts here that come in. I'll just listen to you two and get a rundown of the game. Well, that's not as fun. You can listen to us and we'll talk about what happens.
You can't do that.
Another one, I'm not watching the games. Every time I try and watch, they lose.
Okay, well, that's fair. Don't watch.
I know a lot of people who are like that, especially in big moments of games. It's either they think by watching it's not going to help, or it's that they just can't bear to watch in the big moment of a game. Are you one of those?
No, but I do stand up and like cover my eyes and open and cover like I'm a parent. You know how they always show the moms in the stands watching her son or daughter play and she's got her eyes covered. I'm that. I don't know why. I walk around. I pace. I'm very frantic.
Sometimes I will in a basketball game.
Yeah.
If the opponent, let's say my team is down by a couple or whatever, it's back and forth and it's getting late, and the other team's coming down the floor and shoots a three, that couple of seconds, the ball's in the air. If I'm at the game, mm-hmm. I will look up and I'll just wait to hear what the crowd reaction
really?
Is. Yeah, sometimes
see,
I do
I
that.
Have to see it. So when I say cover my eyes, I should clarify. I make a visor. I make a visor.
Yeah.
So I don't cover the eyeballs, just over the eyebrows. I make a visor. This is why I was a bit distracted. I'm sorry, Ronj, when you were first talking, I wasn't listening because I remembered Winnipeg, their nickname is Gateway to the West.
Is it really?
Isn't that crazy? Yep. It's a railway and transportation hub in Canada, and it is known as the Gateway to the West. Yeah, we're the riverboat hub. But isn't that crazy?
It's wild.
Yeah, there you go. Gateway to the Wests are competing against each other.
Here's another message.
Yep.
How can Amy make everything about her and still find a way to brag about running the Boston Marathon? LOL.
Oh. That's a great point.
It tends to happen.
It does.
Let us know what your superstition is, okay?
Okay.
314-436-7900.
This is a less fun request for our listeners. So I had a conversation this morning with my friends. We were all talking. And one of my friends, he had a Tesla. And he said they are de-Teslafying their house because of everything that's going on. So this guy, he's doing fine for himself. He's a surgeon. So he bought a Rivian. He bought a Rivian instead of a Tesla.
Yeah.
De-Teslafying.
Those are not cheap.
Now, another guy who's also a physician, so again, they're doing okay for themselves. They have a Tesla, but they said they're going to ride it out. Like, they're not pro Elon, but listen, they like the electric car. They bought the Tesla. They bought it, you know, before it became a political statement. So they're going to ride it out. Do you think, so those were two people in a small group who are actively either keeping their Teslas or getting rid of them. And it's interesting, too, because remember, the Tesla initially launched to be green, environmentally friendly, right? Electric cars. I know all kinds of people across the political spectrum, but my first few friends or people I knew who got Teslas tended to be more left-leaning. And I want to know, are you keeping your Tesla? Are you riding it out? Would you want a Tesla, but now you can't buy one? I have a family member who said, I always thought Teslas were cool. It doesn't matter. I still want to get one. It's not a political statement. And then several other people said, no, you can't get one now because it is a political statement.
Yeah, if you want to make it a political statement, that's completely up to you.
But what if you don't? You just like the car and you like
electric. You could do whatever you want.
Would you buy one?
I would not, but the reason I would not do it is I know people who have them.
Yeah.
And I have heard that they're a little jankier than they should be. Like there's a quality control issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know because I haven't actually driven one for myself. So I can't make that judgment. But if I know there are other mm-hmm. options out there and some of them are probably better, then maybe Tesla 5 years ago or 10 years ago was that and was made well. then that would be different. But if they're not now, if there is a quality control issue, which I've heard people talk about, then it seems like there are other better options out there.
And see, I wouldn't, because I'm just not a fan of electric cars. I don't think they're the panacea that we are saying that they could be.
I don't think they're saying that it's a panacea, but it's something that could help.
And I have a friend who said, he goes, I'm just in favor of more energy, meaning I think it's great if we have some gas cars, and I think it's great if we have some electric cars. You go all electric, you still need to power the grid. You're going to be using coal anyway. I would say if I were to get an electric car, I just don't like the way they look. I don't like Teslas. I don't like Rivians. This is me. It's personal. I get it. If I were to get an electric car, honest to goodness, I'd get a Prius hybrid. To me, that seems like the perfect little compact hybrid.
Where it's, you're using, you still have gas, but you also have electric.
And it's
I think I would probably go that route too.
Yeah.
Especially because if you drive any length, any distance, I don't know if I like the idea of having to stop midway and then sit there for 15 or 20 minutes and charge.
How much battery anxiety I get?
Yeah.
With my phone, anything that's battery, like your phone, I don't know, headphones.
Yeah.
Stressful.
Like if you just drive locally, pure electric makes sense, but if you do take road trips where you're driving a couple hundred miles or more, you may not, it may be a little uncomfortable. I wouldn't like it.
I can't drive to Colorado on electric. It would take too long.
So the EPA has issued a new timeline on the cleanup at the West Lake landfill. To talk about it with us, Dawn Chapman and Karen Nickel are the founders of Just Moms STL. They will join the show next here on 104.1 FM. Tammy Marks, Kors, and Chris Ranji on KMOX. As I mentioned, there is an updated timeline issued by the Environmental Protection Agency about the West Lake landfill cleanup. And to learn more, or to tell us more about what that timeline is and what happens next, the founders of Just Moms STL, Dawn Chapman and Karen Nickel, are with us on KMOX. How are you guys doing? Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So tell us what the old timeline was and what the new timeline is supposed to be.
So the old timeline was, well, we didn't really even have a start date. And it looks like they had 2029 as hypothetical, but they had never shared that with our community. But now it looks like we've got an updated start date of 2027, to which we are thrilled.
Dawn, did they say any reason why they expedited the plan?
So they did. They actually went and laid out a pretty detailed timeline of milestones of when things are due and what has to happen to get to 2027. And so we were extremely surprised because we didn't expect to see any dates. All we thought was we were going to get a report on kind of what technically needs to be done at the site and that it would happen when it happened.
One of the things that Administrator Zeldin asked for when he was in town was a 21-day, gave the administrator, the regional administrator, a 21-day deadline to come up with, hey, what's going on? Let's get a timeline. What are the barriers and what are your needs? And through that, there were needs identified for additional staffing and whatnot. So I think that that was another reason why they could put this timeline together and cut a couple of years off of that.
Certainly, it is a complicated issue, and there are a lot of moving parts, so it takes some time to put together an effort to clean this up. I get that, but and I'm still a little surprised to hear that you're happy to hear the 2027 time frame here, because a little over 2.5 years, it must still feel like a very long time to people who live in the area.
It does feel like that. However, we have little things to work towards that he has laid out within that. And so while 2027 is when the first scoopful of radioactive waste on the site will leave, there will be a lot of things going on at the site visually to prepare for 2027. So for us, it's like going in for surgery, right? I mean, surgery kind of starts for you when you get the IV.
Can you?
So,
yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
It does. Can you describe some of those little things that you have to do to lead up to the surgery, so to speak?
Sure. So, one of the things is, as Karen mentioned, they need to bring in some more specialized staff. We were really excited to see that because we agree with that. And so once those staff get lined up, we need to finish the design plan. It's over 90% done. So we just have 10% left. And that's the plan for how to remove it and where it's going to go. And so those are just little steps. But the biggest obstacle that this administrator will face is getting the Department of Energy to sign on and agree to pay for this cleanup.
So this is going to happen, right? I mean, there are no potential roadblocks as far as you are aware.
There was one roadblock we were very frightened of. We still a little bit are, which is that the Department of Energy is going to thumb its nose, right? And not come in here and not sign. And that document is actually talked about in this report. It's ready for them to sign. They could do it tomorrow. But there's a little paragraph below that that basically says, hey, so if they don't, we're going to go through and force them to do the work. And that's what we were looking for, is that boot, right, so to speak, on the neck of the Department of Energy, who is the creator of all this radioactive waste.
So why wouldn't they? What would be the reasoning behind them not signing this and just letting it move forward?
You know, I think honestly, the liability, I think that the Department of Energy has made so many people in this region sick. I mean, they are the ones that were part of the Manhattan Project. They created it. So really, everybody's illness falls down on them. It's their fault. And having them step up to the plate at this site, because it's so much worse right now than we knew it was 7 years ago. But to see EPA say, hey, so you're going to do it, we're going to ask nicely, or we're going to make you do it, basically means we're going to bring in the Department of Justice and sue you.
You know,
so I think that's a pretty big threat in little document.
Yeah. No. And the administrator of the EPA, Lee Zeldin, who visited the site, he said that seeing the fallout of the radioactive waste and how it's made so many members of the community sick was very moving. He was moved by that. Did you have an opportunity to talk to him? Were you able to see his response? And how much do you think him being moved by the consequences of the Westlake landfill helped accelerate this process?
We did, and all of it. You know, we visited two sites. One was on top of Westlake landfill, and the other we went to Coldwater Creek with him. He was very touched and very moved, actually very emotional. You know, I if you're not, after seeing what we had shown him, you're broken. If you're not moved by the things, the stories, you know, the stories he heard while sitting in the small round table meeting that we had with a couple of other community members that have been impacted, and then actually standing on top of radioactive waste underneath your feet, and then seeing the creek firsthand, standing in a park where children like myself have been exposed and are very ill. It is emotional. And if you do not get choked up a little bit, you're broken. It's hard.
And so you're saying that he did get emotional in that way by hearing some of the stories.
Yes, he did.
We were on top of Westlake at one point with him and Senator Hawley, and it was Karen, myself, Senator Hawley, and the administrator, and a big gust of wind came. And it wasn't even a really windy day. It's the location of the landfill and how high up it is. And I think both of them just got this look of horror on their face. And he actually said, my God, it's windy up here. And, you know, the senator responded to, he's like, that is not something I was prepared for. It really, really is windy on this site. And he turned around and you could see all the areas that were surface radioactivity that are now covered with this white rock. And he checked with the EPA. He said, all of that was just sitting on the surface exposed to wind like this for over 40 years. I mean, he had a moment, you could see, he was putting it together.
Wow. I am so glad that they had that moment to cement in their minds that they were going to help accelerate this process. And you bring up Senator Josh Hawley, and he really has been working on this as well. And when he was pressing Lee Zeldin, the EPA administrators, to visit the Westlake landfill, Hawley said, echoed what you just said. He said, the government caused this mess. The government lied about it. Now the government needs to clean it up.
That's right. That's right. We agree with that. And I think we stand by them. And this, I think, was the first time he'd really been on top of the landfill to the senator. So it was an experience with all of it. But I do, you know, for Karen and I, there is a very detailed timeline to get to 2027. So we're going to be doing a lot of community meetings. It's going to be a lot of hard work for Just Moms STL, because we're going to have to communicate step by step and work hand in hand with EPA to get to 2027.
When you look at this accelerated process to clean up the landfill, what about the other side of things? I know last time we talked, Don, just the horrific phrase, it's too late for a lot of people. It's too late. Is there any talk about financial help for medical bills or treatment for the people who are made so ill by this?
We are working very hard, even this week, you know, the week before Easter here, on RECA, which is the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act. Senator Hawley is still fighting hard behind the scenes and trying to get more people on board. You know, we're having some really great conversations, for instance, with Representative Bob Onder's office, who has a huge chunk of RECA out in St. Charles. So, you know, we are still hopeful for that. It's just, it's a heavy lift. And I think to your point, yes, when people are already sick, you're asking them to come in and lift hard. That's a level of exhaustion, right? That seems very unfair. And I think that's what we see. You know, we have a lot of volunteers and people that support us, but because they're sick, they come and go. Does that make sense? So, but we are committed, Karen and I, just like we were, you know, almost 13 years ago, to see this through to the end and see RECA through no matter what it takes.
You've been working closely with Senator Hawley on this. I know you worked with Representative Bush when she was in office. How much contact have you had with Wesley Bell since he has taken her spot?
We've had a lot of contact with Representative Bell. And, you know, he was reaching out even before he was elected to get an update in the event that he would win. And I think you know, it seems almost like seamless, if you will, that transition to us. Yeah. But it's just really hard because the Republicans are in the majority in the House. And so while he is very supportive, we're going to need to get RECA carried by a Republican and then co-signed on by a Democrat is how it's going to work. And so, but he has been, you know, making as many meetings as he can on his own, trying to educate his own members of the House of Representatives on what's happened in St. Louis so that they understand, because we're behind. St. Louis is still the secret city. While RECA is being worked on nationally, so many people are like, well, wait a minute. Why is Missouri? Why is St. Louis? Right. And then you start explaining and showing them this and their jaws drop.
Would it make sense that Hawley would help advocate and bring over some of the Republicans in the House?
You know, he is working on that. It is one thing we've learned from being in D.C.
Yeah.
The House is a very different animal. It is just very, very different in the House. And so I think that while he certainly does what he can, he also is very careful to educate and give them an opportunity to lift it so that he's not stepping on toes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just a very delicate thing that. You know, but he does a really good job with it.
Because there is so much confusion right now regarding DOGE cuts and spending, was there any concern that somehow the focus on DOGE would slow down either the cleanup or getting RECA money for people here at the Westlake landfill area?
We're not seeing that at all behind the
Okay.
scenes. And that was something that we brought up to Administrator Zeldin because obviously kind of the elephant in the room, right? Are we going to have staff cut that are going to impact it? And he assured us that that would not happen. And I also want to encourage people, focusing on Westlake right now in these toxic sites, it does mean that he is committed to seeing that to the end, which means if staff are needed, then that's his responsibility to pull them in. So this is a good opportunity for those that are afraid EPA is going to be gutted to get behind this and say, hey, so here's why we need a strong EPA. Like there isn't, does that make sense? That there
Yes.
isn't, we hear the fear, we get a lot of comments like that on our social media and messages, but that's kind of our response. Well, this is why you should get involved with this because we're demonstrating the need here.
Dawn Chapman and Karen Nickel with Just Moms STL. As always, we really do appreciate talking to the both of you, and we will continue to get updates from you. And it is good news that this is moving forward and the timeline has been moved up. So thank you for talking about it with us today.
As always, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Dawn Chapman and Karen Nickel with Just Moms STL. With Amy Marks Kors, I'm Chris Ranji. Did you see this? Next on 104.1 FM.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Did you know that next summer, July 4th, 2026, is America's 250th birthday? It makes sense, with the Declaration of Independence being 1776, but I just wasn't doing the math. But yeah, 250 years. Bit of a problem. DOGE's cost cutting is getting in the way of the grand celebration that President Trump has ordered for America's 250th birthday. So President Trump wants all of these cities and councils across the country to plan a celebration like none other. He called it a, quote, extraordinary celebration. And he even signed an executive order in his first few days in office to create a federal task force to plan it. The problem is the National Endowment for the Humanities is a big part of that task force, and DOGE just cut 80%
Oh,
of their staff.
so they didn't think it through, is what you're saying.
It seems so. And
Interesting.
so now the organizations involved on the task force, since they all had their staff cut, said they likely won't be able to execute the big patriotic plans they had been
You
making.
know, sometimes I feel like DOGE operates like, let's say you're on a plane and you're in the sky and they realize we need to lose some weight. We need to lose some of the weight on this plane. So you start throwing things out and they throw out the parachutes, which doesn't really help all that much, but then you've lost the safety net for yourself. They're not thinking things through.
Well, Ranj.
But hey, is there still money for that military parade that the president wants later this year? For the Army's birthday?
I don't know.
I'll be
I'll get
curious to
back to
find
you.
out. So you know that a person who appears to be going through some sort of mental episode broke into the governor's mansion in Pennsylvania and set fire to it, and also intended to hit Governor Shapiro with a hammer. His name is Cody Ballmer. He has been arrested. He's 38 years old. His family, and I don't know if you saw this or not, but his family had been trying to get him help in the days leading up to it, saying that he was doing things like eating batteries.
Oh my
He was
gosh.
chewing on batteries. And they went to the
Oh my
authorities
gosh.
because they were trying to have him committed, but the officials said that they, by law, they could not do anything because he had not directly threatened anybody just yet. So clearly, this
Wow.
person, and they're still looking for a real motivation. His family says it was not political, wasn't a hate crime. He's just going through some sort of severe mental illness episode. But he was chewing on batteries.
Yeah, no, that's insane. I had seen that he had posted some weird political stuff in the past, which it would not be unusual for someone going
Right.
through mental issues. I thought some of them were, one of them was more of a he was angry against the Democratic Party, wanted more socialist policies. Another part was white supremacy. He was pro-white
probably all
supremacy.
Over the place.
He was all over the place.
That happens.
Yeah, and so, geez Louise, I don't know what to say. The batteries thing. Jeez,
nuts.
That's awful.
Yeah. It's a good thing nobody really got seriously hurt in that. It really is. The Blues have made the playoffs for the first time in years, and Lou Korak, who covers the Blues for NHL.com, with us next.